So although this is a panel on Eddie Lauterpacht and the Lauterpacht Centre, I actually knew him best from working with him from Herschel Road, from his study in Herschel Road, which, as many of you here will know, is a really special, really wonderful place. It was once a coach house that was owned by Sir Martin Ryle, who lived next door, who sold it to Ellie in the 1970s. And my understanding from Jenny is, Byford, his PA, is that it was originally intended to be somewhere his mother might live, and it was eventually his study. And as anyone who's ever gone in there will know, it's lined with books, overflowing papers, his great desk at the end of the study, which Ellie used to sit behind. To his right, there were the ILRs. The first few volumes were Hirsch's ILRs, and they were rebound by Ellie in this wonderful binding. And then the other side, there were various, there was a set of drawers that I remember distinctly, because the first two drawers had what Ellie called cough sweets, but were really just sugared ginger and hard candy. But anyway, most of my time was spent working with him there. I thought what I might say is less about, again, the cases and things that I might have worked on, but more about what it was like working with Ellie from the perspective of someone who was really new in their career, or not even really in a career, but fresh out of the first stage of education. And what I think is one of Ellie's greatest contributions to the field, and the one that will probably have the greatest lasting legacy, and that is of his mentorship or his apprenticeship. So like others, I first met Ellie for an interview. It was Wednesday, 28th of October, 2009. It was a very typical autumnal day in Cambridge. It was damp, misty, wet, cold. I arrived arrived from London, so I was coming down from London. And Ellie had asked me for an interview because he wanted a research assistant primarily to work on the biography of his father and the long gestating Hague lectures, which I think were only 14 years out of, late by that point. I remember arriving just after lunch and being led through the connecting garage past Jenny's office into his study and sitting down opposite him at the desk, and he looks up and the first thing he said to me was, are you cold? Do you think you're dressed appropriately for the weather? And we're thinking, being very nervous by this statement and thinking, oh goodness, it's not going to a good start. But actually it's a testament to his concern for others. At the end of the interview, he asked me when I could begin, and I said, well, when do you need me? He said, excellent, handed me a lever arch folder and a big box and said, you can take a seat over there. The big box incidentally contained Hirsch's handwritten draft speeches for the Nuremberg trials. So it was an astonishing evening, and I remember coming home talking to my now wife about it at great length, having missed dinner because I actually stayed there till about 9 p.m. Having declined dinner with him and Kathy, but having been the beneficiary of many cups of tea, crumpets, and ginger biscuits. Ellie's remarkable capacity to be a mentor, to be a mentor, particularly of young people, but also many throughout their career, is now legendary. And it's the foundation for what is affectionately known as the Cambridge Mafia. It's the reason so many of us owe so much to him. And it's expressed, or was expressed, in so many ways, including through the centre. I often think the centre can be seen in some ways as a mentorship of the profession, or a way of expressing mentorship in a different way. But in some ways, it's also hard to capture that mentorship in words. It was an inherent part of his character, of his personality. It was wrapped up in his generosity of spirit, his natural curiosity, his passion, and his enthusiasm. Of course, there was his knowledge and experience of the law, but more importantly for Ellie, it was that others should also have that knowledge and experience too. Each case that was worked on, each opinion that was worked on, that was an opportunity to learn. And there was never not an opportunity to offer some advice. I remember once very early on, he bought me a birthday present, and he said, I bought you something that will be of incredible value to you, Andrew. It's the most important thing you will need in your career as an international lawyer. Of course, my mind is racing and thinking, oh, this could be fantastic. First edition of Oppenheim or something. But actually, it turned out to be a hole punch. And I said to him, oh, thank you, trying to sort of do the... this is a delightful present I've always wanted, of course. And he said, well, why do you think this is the most important thing? And I remember thinking, I don't really know why. And he said, organization. You need to be organized. And the hole punch is absolutely essential for organization. So there we go. Early on, when I was struggling to write a PhD proposal as well, I talked about the PhD project before to him and to others, and I knew roughly what I wanted to do, but I had the sort of dreaded burden of the first sentence, the oppressive white space, and I remember saying to him, I just don't know quite how to write it. And he gave me again some very useful advice and said, don't think of writing as a singular event, but think of it as a process. So writing or drafting means redrafting. It's important to have words on the page in order to actually make those words good to begin in the final product. And actually, being told that advice is one thing, but watching him do that, watching him redraft, pay careful attention to every sort of comma and word and expression, and think about things over and over again, was very inspiring. One of the things that marked out Ellie as a great mentor, one of the things that makes anyone a great mentor, but he had this in spades, was his enthusiasm and his interest in you as a person. These are profoundly important to be a good mentor. Well, it does remind me of a story once. I came in once enthused, like others have said, from research I had done. I started speaking to him, a couple of minutes had passed, and he's looking attentively at me, and then says, 1 minute, Andrew, it looks like you're saying something important. I'll just get my hearing aid. So always got to check whether he has a hearing aid first. It sounds like a cliche to say that his enthusiasm was infectious, but it really was, and it really did build confidence in a young person. It makes you feel like what you're doing matters, that it's interesting, that you're actually pursuing something worthwhile. As others have said, you know, his constant questioning, what are you doing? What are you reading? Are you enjoying that? What are you getting out of that? All the time, into the many, many years, right at the end, I remember when he was very unwell, sort of talking to him about what was happening with him, and you know, within seconds it was, so tell me, what are you working on now? And his response was always full of encouragement, even if there was the odd sort of, is that the PhD you're still doing? comment occasionally. I also remember arriving back in Cambridge at about 9 p.m. after spending the day in the National Archives, looking at work relating to his father's appointment, or documents relating to his father's appointment as Huell Professor, and relating to his father's involvement in the Nuremberg trials and the British Manual of Military Law. Ellie was very excited. I talked to him on the train, and it was very clear he wanted to see these documents pretty soon, so he said, well, come over as soon as you're back in Cambridge. And I arrived that evening, and even though some of the documents contained some fairly difficult stuff to read, the enthusiasm he had for them, the excitement, the boyish charm and everything was very clear to see. I think we stayed up to about 3 o'clock in the morning working that evening. He also would take pleasure in any successes that you personally had, whether it was publication of a paper, finishing your PhD, or the more mundane, but certainly no less special, occasion of having had a really good slice of cake, or a great meal, or a great bottle of wine. And he would sit there with this big grin on his face and say, good for you. And it was, I remember that, because he always used to say good for you, and you really felt like he really meant it, that he was enjoying the fact you had enjoyed something or you had been successful. And despite the fact that many of my research notes, the research notes that I prepared for Ellie, were for his eyes only, he still treated every one of them as a learning experience. I was interrogated regularly on my use of Norm. He used to say, Sir Arnold McNair had written on, I think it was The Function of Law, was it Private Law, on one of Hirsch's books, a comment saying, you know, why must you use the word Norm? Use precept instead. And Ellie would say, I don't like either. But every piece of work, every paragraph, every sentence written was treated line by line as though it was due for publication in the leading international law journal and be read by everyone in the world. And needless to say, this is not only a powerful but also a very humbling experience. Everyone talks about Ellie's study as a remarkable place, and it really is. The overflowing books, many given by former students and former colleagues or current colleagues, with wonderful inscriptions inside, often thanking him with gratitude. Papers, maps, pictures of international lawyers and family alike, historic and present on both sides. Cards from former research assistants, pictures of their children, gifts from grandchildren, hard candied sweets, crystallized ginger, the iron fireplace, the chairs and the table sitting around it, and so on. And it's true, it really was a wonderful place to work and a great privilege. But it was a wonderful study because it was occupied by a wonderful man. It was a reflection of Ellie, his life, his enthusiasm, his passion, the people he affected, and his family. It was a reflection of a great mentor. Thank you.